Hey.
Welcome, everyone.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Too Real with Mike and Jillian Rosato.
We're recording on Wednesday now.
We are recording on a Wednesday. Look at us.
Look at us.
And we actually have been at a conference for the past 2 days. So everything in me was like, just take today off. I probably should have, but just catching up on everything that we missed the last 2 days.
I feel like we have an emotional hangover.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just feel my head's just heavy.
We are
committed, we are disciplined, and we are ready to
you got tea today.
Do the thing. Yeah, I've been trying to shy away from too much caffeine lately. Like, I'll have my cup of coffee in the morning, but besides that, I try not to drink coffee the rest of the day. Just for some health things that I've been reading, too much caffeine, this is like super personal, promotes growth of cysts within your body and stuff like that. So I've been, one of the ways to get rid of it is to reduce your caffeine intake.
But doesn't tea have caffeine?
This is peppermint tea. It's caffeine free.
Oh.
The teas I drink are caffeine. I drink peppermint, I drink ginger, and I drink that yogi, honey, lavender, chamomile, something like that. It's like a nighttime tea. So I've been mid-morning, instead of another cup of coffee, I've been trying to drink a peppermint tea in the morning and then a ginger tea in the afternoon.
Look at you. I want all the caffeine.
I know you do.
Okay. I know we don't have sponsors yet, but let's pretend. Today's episode is brought to you by Wawa.
Yo, unpopular opinion.
Every corner here in New Jersey.
Wawa coffee's kind of trash, I'm just saying.
Whoa. I actually, so when it comes to like non-fancy drinks, like, not a latte, not everything, I don't mind.
Yeah.
It's just a straight Wawa coffee.
Yeah. I just, for me, I don't drink the fancy drinks. So like to have like just a black coffee from Wawa, I'm like, I don't really like Starbucks black coffee.
Oh, no, I hate Starbucks.
Like, I don't really, because I can't do any of the lattes or the fancy things because I can't do the dairy. But if we go to Starbucks, I get a Mint Majesty tea.
Because you're so fun.
I am. I'm like loads of fun.
Speaking of fun, we're starting this episode off with so much fun.
So much fun. Well, you know what? The funny thing is Mike came into our collaborative workspace here at our church building and he goes, are we shooting today? And like, I think my face was like, I don't know, what are we even going to talk about? I have no emotional or intellectual space to even think about a podcast format today. But like, don't you just love how things work out? We started those questions last week.
21 questions.
Let's just
21 questions part dear.
Yeah, if you're my soulmate, girl, you a blessing. Nobody will get that reference. Nobody.
Yes, they will.
But my sister will.
Yeah.
But we're going to hop right back into the questions.
Yeah.
I don't know who answered the last one, but I'm making you answer the next one. Okay.
All right.
All right. So are you picking it?
No, you pick the question and then I answer.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to get
it. I feel like we need like a drum roll or some kind of music.
No.
Don't do it. No, what the heck was that?
I was trying. That was my drum roll. Okay. Well, this is a good one. All right. How do you handle challenges and adversity in your life?
I eat challenges and adversity for breakfast.
I was going to say you emotionally eat.
Yeah, I do emotionally eat.
And you go to sleep.
No, actually, you know what's funny? I just taught this to our staff where, we talked about even in this podcast about emotionally spiraling downward and how to like spiral upward.
Mm-hmm. I think we spoke about that on here too.
But what I talked to the staff about was somebody asked me, I was talking about actually listening. It was like a listening teaching. And I talked about how recently what I do is like if there's like things that are stressing me out, you know, like I write it on the left column. Did I mention this here in the podcast?
No, but you did mention it with the staff.
Yeah. So like I write everything down, like anything that's stressing me out, all the adversity, all the conflict, everything on the left side of the page or my iPad. And then and I don't filter it. Like I let it just be, like you just write it all down. And then on the right side of the page, I just combat it with truth. I think sometimes there's certain conflict in your life that are necessary conflict. And so you have to deal with it and approach it with truth and just lean into it. And there's some conflict that unless you sit down and think about it and process it, like some of it's unnecessary,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, I'm not saying to avoid it, but I'm just saying don't waste so much emotional energy in conflict that is not necessary in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and then I sit down and I meditate, you know, some people, you might call it prayer or whatever, but then I pray. I'm like, okay, what's the actual truth with a capital T about this conflict? And the truth is, I just need to trust my integrity,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing I could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And sometimes it's like, yeah, let it go. And so sometimes it's not the easiest truth to hold on to, mm-hmm. but it's still truth that you could hold on to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that for me helps me handle conflict and adversity that comes my way. Also, I think the last thing I say will be get used to dealing with conflict. We talked about this in the podcast, dealing with conflict. Immediately and efficiently.
Mm.
Just get used to that.
Yeah.
And I know I was joking, but like, start learning to just eat conflict for breakfast.
Mm.
Like, just, you know, we were just at a conference, and I know there's a couple of people there that unfortunately, not their favorite. And I just learned to also eat awkward for breakfast.
Mm.
So like, I see them, and you know, we're in the Christian world, so everybody has to be nice. So I'm like, hey, buddy, how you doing? And I'll just hug them. I know darn well you don't like me, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm eating conflict and awkward for breakfast.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
I don't know.
What would you add to that?
I was going to say, I don't know that I have the emotional bandwidth to answer a question today, but we're just going to go for it. This is going to be raw, unfiltered Jill.
There it is. That's the best kind of Jill.
The conflict thing for me, too, is recognizing, I think I shared this on the last podcast, there are mountains and there are molehills.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're in the midst of conflict, you might think that everything's a mountain and it's not. Conflict brings growth.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you're facing a lot of conflict, and you got to define conflict, because there's conflict that you make for yourself and there's conflict that just stuff happens.
Yeah.
But like a lot of times when you're facing conflict of like just stuff happening, like it's in your life because you can handle it.
Mm.
And it's actually a good thing. It stretches you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
That's good. Let's try to get to as many questions as possible today.
Okay. So you want a fast answer. Is that what you're telling me?
Faster answers. That's my fault. That's my fault. Yeah, but that's my fault. So here's one that's like deep.
Oh, and I have to answer it quickly. Wonderful.
What are your hopes and fears regarding our children's future?
You throw that card. He just threw the card, if anyone's listening to that. My hopes are is that this is my biggest hope, and it's selfish.
Okay.
My hopes are that when our kids go out into the world, that we still have the relationship that we do now.
Mm.
That we're still close, that they'll call me, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when they need something.
Yeah.
That's my selfish hope. My other hope is that we've prepared them. We've shared before, you know, these last couple of years and even up until now, like we're letting go and coming to the realization that we're raising adults, we're not raising children. And with that, we need to give them responsibility and we need to give them opportunity to fail and we need to give them opportunity to pick themselves up and dust themselves off and learn resilience and stuff like that. Like, for example, when we were at this conference, we stayed the Monday night and I went to Hunter before we were going and I said, hey, do you want to stay home or do you want to go stay at your dad's?
He's 16.
He's 16. He's a junior in high school. Do you want to stay home or do you want to stay with your dad? And he said, I want to stay home. And I said, all right. I said, here's the responsibility. You got to make sure you lock the house up. You got to make sure you turn the lights off. You got to make sure you get to bed at a decent time, that you eat dinner when you get home from practice, that you wake up with your alarm, that you get to school on time. And then yesterday morning, I texted him in the morning. And we were texting the night before around 10 o'clock. So we're talking about the Phillies game. I reminded him multiple times, make sure you set your alarm. Make sure your phone's being charged. Make sure your ringer's on. Da-da-da. So I text him 6:15 the next morning. Hey, just text me. Let me know that you're up. Just so I know. He's not answering me. He's not reading the text message. And I'm calling and I'm calling and I'm calling. He's not answering. I'm like, this kid slept through his alarm. I just knew it. And finally, he calls me at 7:50. And I answer the phone. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I turned it off and I didn't mean to do it. I'm really sorry. And I said, just call your dad and ask him if he can bring you to school. If not, I'll call you an Uber. But I was upset with him that he did it, but it's all part of the learning process.
Yeah.
I slept through my alarm a million times at that age, but you got to learn. And he had to learn that he had to call his dad. I'm sure his dad was not pleased that he had to drive over and take him to school. But it is what it is, and he has to learn. And we need to give them out those opportunities, and we need to guide them in those moments. And there was so many parts of me that I wanted to be like, you failed, you did this, da da da. But I have to not to give it that much weight that he feels shame from it, but enough weight that he knows that he wants to do better next
time.
Takes
responsibility.
Yeah. So that's fears that they're going to be like me.
You turned out all right.
Yeah, it took a lot of work, but and that's the thing. Like, we recently had this conversation last week. Like, we want to stop tracking Chase's phone and what he's doing because our parents didn't track us, and I think it brings so much more visibility to mistakes that we made on our own and learned from, and we don't give him that opportunity when everything's so visible for us. Like, he needs to learn how to do it himself as well. Is it making us even more helicopter parents when we have all this vision into everything? It's all fear.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, you have to have trust that they're going to do better, and there's people looking out for them, and it's just they're going to learn.
Yep.
Yeah.
My hope and fear is, very quickly,
your question, though.
But I let you answer the last question. My hope and fear for them very quickly is, I think as technology continues to increase, like AI and those kind of things, my hope is that we've imparted enough critical thinking, you know, for them to think creatively, and not mechanically or wait for the answers and think inside the box and outside the box and those kind of things. That's my hope for them. But my fear is that some of the technology stuff is going to make them mentally lazy.
Got it. All right. Because we're moving along because you wanted two short answers. How do we, or do we even, maintain a healthy work-life balance while collaborating on various projects?
How do we maintain a healthy work-life balance?
Or do we? Like, how do we do it? Or do we even do it? Like...
So very quickly,
I love how you use this to your advantage right now.
I think we do, but sometimes we fail, right? So this is kind of similar to another question we answered maybe the last episode about boundaries and just like, you know, honoring the boundaries. It's about having boundaries. Here's very quickly, having boundaries, being flexible when you need to be flexible, and continue to fight for each other in the spaces where we want to see each other succeed. That's my answer.
Okay. That was a quick one. You made up for your last two.
You like that, though. That was a good answer.
Yeah. We did kind of cover that in the last one.
Yeah. All right. This is like the same question. What's happening here?
He just threw it.
Just threw it.
Very sassy.
All right. What are individual strengths and how can we use them to work together more efficiently? I just want to throw cards now.
Wow. That was something. Individual strengths. We actually complement each other very well in our strengths, I think. And I feel like I say this ad nauseum. Mike is very much a visionary. He's very creative. He hustles hard, and I compliment him in the fact that I can take his vision and creative ideas and I can organize it and I can plan it and I can delegate it to make it happen.
Yeah.
So I think we're very uniquely paired in that way. I do have a very creative side to myself, and you do have... Within your creativity, you are very talented in laying out a plan, like, and the steps of the plan and stuff like that. We both are very hard workers, high capacity. I think that complements each other really well. But I think in areas that I lack, you have, and in areas that you lack, I have, which makes us a good team, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're both very strong-willed, though. We're very intense, we've been told.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So I think sometimes that can scare people a little bit. Because we're both like very, I'm very direct. We were, after district conference Monday night, we went out with a couple people and it was after my bedtime. So they got like unedited Jill completely.
Yes,
and there was this guy sitting with us that Mike had known. He was in, you went to Israel with him
Israel.
Or you met him in Palestine.
No, I met him in Israel.
In Israel. And I had met him like once. But I was just, it was Jill Unleashed. And he kept on apologizing. Okay, so let me explain.
Yeah, I kept on apologizing to him.
How did you put it?
I was just like, let me, and I would touch his arm and I would like, disclaimer, my wife loves Jesus. like, or hey, disclaimer, my, you know what I mean? So I just kept on.
What my wife really means is.
Yeah.
But so that can come, I think people that don't know us could be like, whoa.
Yeah,
there are a lot, but the people that do know us know our heart and know that this came up too. Mike is surprisingly tender.
Oh.
He's a person that you wouldn't expect to be so sensitive or cry as much as he does, but he does.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would tell you too that, yes, we complement each other. But there are some areas where we match each other, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you need both.
Ooh, this is a good one. How do we best support each other as parents?
How do we best support each other as parents?
Especially with a mixed family. That's an interesting take on things.
Yeah, it is. I think what we've learned is that number one, to always have each other's back, even when we don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I think there are sometimes unity is more important than being right. Let me say that again. Unity, sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes like, no, we're wrong on this. Somebody's wrong. But sometimes when it comes to parenting, unity is more important than being right. Or unity is more important than your preference in the moment. I think that's important. I think the other thing that's important is to learn to, so there's unity, but also the whole distinction to learn to balance each other out. You know, so
we
like
suck at that sometimes.
We do suck at that sometimes, but like, you know, to play good cop, bad cop, you know, sometimes Jill plays badder cop. And she just comes in.
I just
in
get
hot.
Hype. Yeah. Like he gets me hype, and I'm like, yeah. And
if you ever seen the movie The Other Guys, you know, like Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, like they before they go into this room, they agree that they're going to play good cop, bad cop, and Will Ferrell comes in hot. That's Jill. but you have to learn to balance each other out in that, as well as you got to represent. How you want your children to respond to conflict. And so that's why we did, you know, we tried our best to never say anything negative about the other parents. Because justifying, playing the victim card isn't the way to get through a situation. And if they see you do that, you know, oh, that's just your other parent's fault or whatever, or that's because they did this. If they see you do that, then they're going to see the example of I never have to take responsibility if I could put the blame on somebody.
Yeah.
And I think we've done that well.
Yeah.
Like to not not allow it to go that way and just to be the example of how to do it. And to apologize. I think a big example that you could give your children is to learn how to apologize to them and to each other.
Yeah. I think something too, which is a unique thing for us because we do have a mixed family, is you have to decide up front how you're approaching things. Is it, well, Hunter's my kid, Chase is your kid, I'll handle Hunter, you handle Chase.
Yeah.
Or is it, these are our children and we'll parent them together, or like you have to decide that up front.
Right.
I think that's a really important conversation to have going into a blended family, because if not, it could get really messy. Mm-hmm. I know from experience, like with my dad and my stepmom, my dad came in with 3 kids. My stepmom came in with 2 kids, and they decided like my dad's going to parent us. My stepmom's going to parent my stepbrothers, but they're going to support each other. But like at the end of the day, like they're making decision over their kids. And that worked really well for them, you know. But with us, we decided that we were going to parent them together. And we made that very clear to our children as well. So like if there's something going on with Chase, Mike will come to me and be like, hey, this is what's going on. You know, like, this is, what do you think about this? Like, and we make that decision together. Mike may be the one communicating it primarily to Chase. But there's times that I do as well. But just having that set up from the get is really, really important, I think, and really helpful in you supporting each other, especially when you're in a blended family situation.
Yep. Yep.
And honestly, that works in any family situation. But just as you're coming in with blended family, like it could be like, well, that's my kid. That's because it's your biological kid.
Right.
But just making that distinction up front and communicating that to your children, because there was times in the beginning that either one of them would be like, well, my dad said, or well, my mom said, we're like, nah. We talked about this. Like if Mike tells you to do something, or if Jill tells you to do something,
right,
you do it.
Right.
The
that's
end.
Important.
So
yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
So we're at the 20-something minute mark, right? Okay. So I want to try something fun here.
Oh,
and
geez.
So I'm going to ask you 3 back-to-back questions, and you ask me 3 back-to-back questions, and you got to answer them within 10 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So
I feel like these questions are not conducive to that format, but we're going to go for it.
It's going to make the podcast interesting. Yep. Okay. Okay. Ready? First question.
Yeah.
Got 10 seconds.
Okay.
Here we go. What do you believe are the key? This is so unfair. What do you believe are the keys to a strong and lasting marriage?
Communication, gratitude, and humility.
Good.
Boom.
Good. Ready?
I'm not going to expand.
What do you think are the most important qualities for a successful
Can you not read my handwriting?
No, I can't.
Do you want me to read it?
A successful. No, that's a stupid question. All right. How do we ensure and maintain a strong band as a couple while raising our kids?
Communication, gratitude, and humility.
Oh, you cheap.
It's true, though.
Okay. Okay. Last one. How do you envision our life together in the next 5, 10, or 20 years?
I said this to you recently. Mike and I never got that like couple without children phase as long as we've been together.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to have that on the back end, where we're more confident, we're more equipped, we're more mature. So I'm very excited for that fun stage. I see us traveling a lot more. I see us growing a lot more. I see us stepping into additional or different roles in the future, and just seeing like where things go from there. Big things.
Big things.
Big things.
Big things.
All right. 3 questions. Ready?
Yeah.
How do you feel our love has evolved since we first met?
How do we feel our love has evolved? I feel like it has gone stronger. It has matured in communication. I think we've got rid of bad habits.
Mm. What values do you think we've instilled in our kids?
Tenacity, perseverance, tenacity/perseverance. Ooh, that was a good flip.
It's like a paper airplane.
Tenacity, perseverance, hustle, compassion, and fun.
Mm.
And for all the Christians listening, Jesus, because you need to hear that.
What are your biggest dreams and aspirations in life?
um, boom, making it rain with the cards. My biggest dreams are I want to, at the end of my life, know that I didn't just recruit leaders, I developed them. That's my biggest dream. I want to be a leader of leaders and develop them through relationship, mentorship, coaching, and content like books and videos and those kind of things that leave a legacy of leadership.
Awesome. Yeah. Take that.
You like it?
Yeah. All right. We did it.
We did it.
There were two questions that I bounced on, but they were kind of similar to other ones. Yeah. But that's part two of 21 questions. We did it. We made it. It wasn't terrible, I don't think. You can tell us otherwise in the comments.
Yes.
Because you love the comments. Mike's been getting roasted on social media lately on our Fervent page. They gave a stand-up 0 out of 10. He's like, it's not stand-up. It's like a message in church.
Preaching. They were like, 0 out of 10 stand-up. And I'm like, wow. It's not a comedy club.
They were like, we should rate his beard. Wow. And I was like, oh, all right. But it was like, we were getting all the, and there was a couple that we deleted because it was like wild. Yeah, leave us some comments, share the things, do the things, subscribe, like, all the things. I'm done.
You're done.
YouTube, we're on video. What up? Mike's very fancy today. I'm wearing sweatpants.
I'm not fancy.
I'm done. Just... You're wearing a jacket and a button-down shirt. This is fancy.
For decent. You. I'm coaching an organization later on this evening. So.
Yes, so he wants to be appropriate. But yeah, we're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the things, Google Podcasts. Be sure, like, subscribe, share, the end. Okay, we'll be back next Wednesday.
Bye.
Too real. Bye.